Thanks for listening to the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight, 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern, 7 to 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Quite a who's who to start off this show, and you may be saying, who's that? Well, it's six-year NFL veteran George Reister and zero-year NFL veteran Dan Beyer with you for the next 4 hours. George, what is happening on this Friday?
It is Friday. I got a job, but I still got things to do.
Oh, man, we are coming to you live from the Geico Fox Sports Radio Studios. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance. Visit geico.com for a free rate quote. There is baseball not being played with the St. Louis Cardinals. We'll dive into that. Quite a day for the Washington football team as they released one of their young promising players over a very scary and ugly allegations. We'll dive into that. And plus, what could be happening with the guy replacing that young player. Dabo Swinney also talking about the future of college football. George has had his thoughts on how things could go in the college game, and Dabo has weighed in. We'll see what George thinks about the Clemson's coach thoughts on what could be there for the players. We've got NBA action going on right now, PGA Championship wrapping up. There is so much going on, but we almost have to start with the guy that isn't playing, because Zion Williamson is not playing tonight for the New Orleans Pelicans. They currently, as you just heard Steve say, up double digits on the Wizards early in the fourth quarter of their contest. But this has been the theme throughout, and there has been a lot with Zion Williamson, George, whether it be you and I discussing on our Sunday show of whether the Pelicans should even be in the bubble. There was Zion leaving the bubble for a personal matter and then coming back in. But now tonight being held out of a back-to-back for the Pelicans, a game that they are winning and a game, let's be honest, means a lot and matters when you only play eight games in this bubble. But Zion Williamson not playing tonight for New Orleans, when you hear that news and you don't see him in the lineup, how do you feel about the rookie sensation and the rookie season of the Pelicans forward?
His rookie season has been short. I mean, he missed the first half of the season and he's only played 23 games. You know, this is a very, very short season for Zion. Some of it is under his control, which he will learn, and some of it is not. Because he is a heavier athlete. Like, he's a guy who's 285. And granted, it's a lot of muscle and all of that. But as you saw with LeBron James, when he used to carry more weight, he started to get thinner and thinner as he got older, because it's harder on your joints, especially when you're jumping so high. Just the physics of it, when you're landing, it's so much stress on your ankles, on your feet, on your bones, on your knees, on your hips. All of that because of the weight. And I know his frame can carry it, but he's got to make sure that his conditioning is right, that he doesn't eat himself out of a potential superstar career.
This is, you know, my whole deal with this is, and I never liked the 22 teams in Orlando, but I think that it's not that same old argument. I'm not going to make you hear that, George, again. But it's the point of, we hear a lot, you know, the NBA isn't going to really be able to have their second bubble that they wish they would have had in September for teams that didn't make the Orlando bubble. That's likely not going to happen, and not going to happen for those teams. There was talk that maybe Lloyd Pierce and the Hawks would have liked to have gotten into the bubble. There have been some that even said the teams are gaining chemistry, and while this is really going to allow them to build on next year. But again, to the point, I'm not even sure if the Pelicans really, really wanted to be included in the bubble. We know that the NBA wanted them in because they're in. Not only were they in, they were playing opening night to start the season against the Utah Jazz. So we know that the NBA wanted them in and wanted to have a, you know, the ability to market Zion. But as a team, when you're sitting there and they're fighting for that nine spot, if you will, and I'm using the fighting in air quotes, and I'm not saying that the players aren't trying, George. The point is, was it really beneficial for the Pelicans as an organization to play in these eight games? And is it beneficial for Zion Williamson to do so? And
I don't think this is. Dan, are you kidding me?
Franchise.
No, this has been absolutely excellent for them because you've had Brandon Ingram, Lonzo Ball, Drew Holiday get time on task together. They've had a chance to play together, get a little bit of chemistry, and Zion has been on the court a little bit as well. You want to get your young players as much experience as possible. They can work out in the gym. They can do whatever it is that they want to do. But it is different when you are playing in actual games. And this adds, and also being in the bubble, having to be responsible in the bubble is another way that players can grow, can mature. This is great for the team. You've seen how great it's been for the Suns, even though they don't deserve Devin Booker.
We'll get into that later. Yeah, there's somebody else that agrees with you.
It's been good for, you know, TJ Warren. It's been good for a bunch of guys in the league because they've had a chance to really hone in and focus in instead of having all the distractions. And maybe some of that carries over into next season.
I don't disagree that it's been good for some teams, but when you look at what really is at stake for the New Orleans Pelicans, I just don't see the huge payoff, and I think it's indicative. Now, Washington severely shorthanded. There's a whole nother, you know, when Bradley Beal said he was going to opt out, the Wizards should have just opted out of Orlando. Like, there was no point in having that team having to play more games to try to get in. It just didn't make any sense. But when you're the Pelicans and Zion ends up leaving, the experience that you have with Lonzo Ball and Brandon Ingram was an all-star. You know, so they had 60-some games
Dan,
to work
you forget,
together.
You are forgetting what was the only reason why they're playing these games to begin with?
To ramp up to the playoffs.
No. Why are they even playing in the bubble to begin with?
To finish the season, to get TV games, to just answer the question, George. I don't want to play trivia 7 minutes into the show. What am I missing?
Money.
Oh, okay.
Money.
Yeah.
So that's why the Pelicans had to play. That's why the Wizards had to play. That's why all these games mattered because they're on TNT. They're on the other networks just to make the money. That is the only, and fulfill obligations that, and to make sure that the salary cap is not impacted or not impacted as much for the next season. The only reason any of this is being played, college football, NFL, it's not for entertainment. It is about money. So that's why any of the teams are there, Dan. That's why they must be there.
Yeah, and I get all that. And honestly, I assumed it was just so obvious that that's why they're also continuing the season. It's the point. But the money isn't the part of whether the Pelicans should be there or if they want to be there. Like, I mean, they're holding them out of a game tonight that I know Washington is bad. I get that. Just like the Bucks didn't play their starters against Brooklyn for the second half, ended up losing, didn't cost them because the Bucks clinched the number one seed when they beat the Heat yesterday. But the point being is there's a race to try to get to the 9 spot. And when you only have 8 games and you've lost 3 of your first four like the Pelicans have, do you really have that much leeway to take the Wizards that lightly or to rest Zion? And then you say, well, it's long-term for them, so they do have the ability. Well, then if it's long-term, then why is he even playing there in the first place? So that's my whole point. Like, you're either going for a playoff spot and you're going to try to get the 9 spot, or you're just playing 8 random games. And I don't know why you would want to risk your young star in playing those 8 random games when he's already somewhat injury prone and, to your point, seemingly out of shape. I don't think that the Pelicans, you know, if you gave them the option, would have wanted to go to Orlando. And I think that tonight with Zion not playing against the Wizards is the perfect representation of that.
The funniest part about this, the bubble is that it has been clear and it has been present how some of these NBA teams are acting like NFL teams in week 15, 16, and 17. When you know you're not going to the playoffs, mm-hmm. like the Wizards, they have just melded in. The Brooklyn Nets, even though they have clinched a spot, they wish they could have melded in. I mean, truly. Yeah. And also, side note, I just saw a tweet come across the line from Bobby Marks. Kevin Durant has earned a $1 million bonus now that Brooklyn has clinched the playoff spot. This dude didn't play one.
Oh,
how bad amazing. Of a contract is that for the Brooklyn Nets? You knew this dude was not going to play the entire year, but you gave him $1 million bonus for what? Cheerleading?
Maybe that's why Kyrie wanted to sit out. He didn't want Durant to get his $1 million bonus.
Hate.
trying to you know, take the little knife, stick in it. The whole bubble, George, just as a whole, I think in 10 years we're going to look back at this and be like, this should be a 30 for 30 on what went on, or this is going to be one of the biggest feats. I mean, we're seeing, you know, the NHL is seemingly having a pretty good time in putting their season on, but it did seem like the NBA was the one really in the forefront of starting this. And I was critical of them trying to be in that forefront, and just to see what they have done, to see how it has gone on seamlessly, and to see these games, which really, George, if this was early April in the NBA season, we'd be all wrapped up in March Madness. We'd be in the Final Four. You know, I'd be getting ready for the Masters. We'd be like, all right, just tell me when the NBA playoffs come along. But these have been something to watch. They've all featured pretty good teams, because only good teams, or mostly good teams, are in the bubble. It's just been an amazing undertaking that I think 10 years from now we're going to look back and be like, wow, tip of the cap to the NBA for pulling that off, because I have no idea how they did. It's just been amazing.
Yeah, it's definitely been a feat, but a feat that remember when, okay, so from the beginning, I said that the NBA was going to finish its season because it was playing in a bubble, and the NHL as well. But the NHL had the luxury, too, of seeing a lot of the NBA protocols and how they were handling things. And it has been, I mean, it's gone off pretty seamlessly. I mean, there was the Lou Williams thing, but then they dealt with that. He had to sit out 10 days. And, you know, it's kind of been a non-story since then. They haven't had positive tests, because it's like, if you do it right, it can be done. And it has been a tremendous undertaking. So whoever designed these protocols that they're going under deserves a medal. And you have to give the players credit, too, for being extremely responsible, because it's very easy to get a little bit lackluster when the rain start, when people aren't watching as close, or when you kind of fall into a little bit of complacency. But they're doing a fantastic job.
He's George Reister. Get him on Twitter at George Reister. I'm at Dan Byer on Fox, as we are in for Jason Smith and Mike Harmon on the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon here on Fox Sports Radio. So glad to have you with us. Coming up next, one NFC East team lost a key piece of their season today. We'll dive into that next here on Fox Sports Radio. Boy, oh boy, wasn't it nice to see the guys back out on the court over the weekend. We are all just excited to see what week two of the basketball restart has in store for all of us. And if that isn't enough excitement for you, DraftKings, the leader in one-day fantasy sports, is offering you a shot at a share of millions of dollars every day this week. If you haven't tried it yet, fantasy basketball is easy to play. Just pick 8 players. That's it. Stay under the salary cap. Pile up points for three-pointers, rebounds, assists, and more. There's no better way to put your basketball knowledge to the test than to compete for a share of millions of dollars. But listen, if basketball's not for you, don't worry. DraftKings has got you covered. They offer plenty of fantasy golf action for this week's major. Get in on the action before the golfers hit the weekend for a shot at $1 million top prize. With millions of dollars up for grabs this week, there's no better place to have skin in the game than with DraftKings. Download the DraftKings app now. Use the promo code Jason to get a shot at millions of dollars in prizes every day. That's promo code Jason to get a shot at millions of dollars in prizes every day this week. That's only at DraftKings. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
Coming to you live from the Geico Fox Sports Radio Studios. This is the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon, except for neither one of those guys is here today. It is Dan Beyer and I am George Reister. But did you know that right now Geico is offering an extra 15% on car, motorcycle, and RV policies? That's 15% on top of what Geico could already save you. So what are you waiting for? Save an extra 15% when you switch by October 7th. Visit geico.com to learn more. Dan, we just heard in the tease, well, in the commercials, really, that the NFL may be losing $7 billion if fans are not in the stands, and that all these games are being played for money and all of that. So we have to bring in a friend of the program and also man who does the Three and Out podcast on the Colin Cowherd Network, Mr. John Middlecoff, who is also a former NFL scout and my friend as well.
What's going on, fellas?
What's happening,
what's up,
John,
this whole NFL COVID deal has just been a mess, really, and trying to figure out, we have, what, 69 players who have opted out. First thing, do you believe that there will be a season? Will we get to week one?
Yeah, I think we'll get to week one. I mean, the one thing that you've noticed is we haven't really, I know it's early in the process yet, but had an issue with the testing, have an issue with the, you know, the positives like baseball has. Again, very, very early in the process, but, you know, George, I mean, these facilities kind of operate as like a little mini bubble. Now, as they start playing and actually practicing against each other, different story. But I think football in general is just so used to being a disciplined, you know, profession, and guys are used to following the rules. Like in baseball, and I think in basketball, definitely why they needed the bubble, because basketball players don't listen to anybody. I mean, they're their bosses. They don't get cut. You know, in baseball, it's probably somewhere in the middle. But a lot of these guys, you know, kind of get put on scholarship. In football, that's just at any moment you play bad, you're a veteran guy, you can get cut. So I think these guys are going to be pretty focused, because at this point in time, you know, what are we, 6 months, 5 months into this thing, I think the severity of what's on the line business-wise in everybody's industry is pretty apparent.
John, did you miss the Hall of Fame game last night? I mean, like,
no.
did you yearn for it?
Not at all.
That's what was amazing to me, and George and I were talking about it before the show, but I'm not sure how many people realize that, you know, last night would have been the Hall of Fame game with the Steelers and Cowboys.
I do think, though, it was a little unique, right? I mean, it's like everything got pushed back. So you get NBA games on, all the baseball games was like kind of new, and there was a golf major that got pushed back. So,
yeah.
You know, it, usually that time's pretty dead, right? Because baseball feels dead. The NBA's over. So it's like we're always excited for the Hall of Fame game because we've kind of had nothing to watch for a little while. That hasn't really been the case right now. So probably I would have said yes in a normal year.
I totally get that. But I just wanted to quickly ask you that, but I also wanted to transition to some of the news that we heard. Lambeau Field not going to have fans for the first couple of weeks of the season. Realistically, do you think this is going to play an issue with certain teams in the NFL? You know, Raiders saying that they aren't going to have fans through that season. You know, I think of a place like Seattle, that has a home field advantage, even though it wasn't great last year. But are there places like Seattle and Kansas City that will be affected by this, that teams may not be able to overcome with no fans in the stadium? Is there any teams that stand out in that in your mind with no fans in the stands?
Yeah, I would say, you know, the big boys, Kansas City, Seattle, the Saints. I mean, places, the Eagles gets pretty loud there,
sure.
Places that are loud. I think it'll have an impact, you know, sometimes on those morning games, you know, the 1 a.m. Eastern clock, you know, for us is 10 out here on the West Coast. Sometimes you get a little juice from them. You know, I think the Sunday night game, it's usually a big game, even though it'll be in the dark, you get the lights on, it'll be pretty easy to get fired up. But some of those early, you know, 1 o'clock kicks, especially in central time zone when it's like noon, you could just see some, like, lackadaisical play. I think there's just an element of, you know, obviously you're a professional, you're playing for the money, but, you know, there's something to be said for 70,000 people watching you, right? I mean, that's kind of why you want to make it to the big leagues or the NFL or the NBA. It's the huge crowds, the vibe, what's on the line. So, yeah, I mean, it's going to be weird, that's for sure.
How have you, John, been receiving the whole NBA bubble, NFL potentially coming back, NHL? Because some people thought that they would be binge watching all of these sports, but I found myself kind of struggling to get back into like a full everyday sports regimen because I've been doing so much else in my normal life. Have you struggled with that, and how have you seen other people?
I agree, because I just think as sports fans, we're routine-oriented. You know, every month of the year has a vibe, right? Something's on the line, whether it's March Madness, whether it's training camp, whether it's opening day, whether it's the baseball playoffs, whether it's the college football opening weekend. And it just doesn't feel normal. And then, obviously, when I get the Dodger-Giants game on right now. I mean, it's just – there's – how many – doesn't the Dodgers usually lead the league in attendance? There's not a soul there. It just kind of looks weird. Now, I enjoy it, but I'm with you. I'm not as it's weird because, like, as big and as important it was for them to finish, it wasn't about the fans in baseball and definitely in basketball. It was about the money, and I don't blame them for that. They have to survive financially. You couldn't just end. So much money's on the line the bigger you get. But it's you can kind of feel it. I mean, you guys talk about sports for a living. It doesn't quite feel as urgent. Even though, you know, the basketball playoffs are about to start, there are only so many baseball games, especially this year. I mean, the second-place team in baseball gets in. So, like, the Dodgers can just sleepwalk to the playoffs. They're a lock to make it, you know? So it's just different. It's just the only way to describe it. I mean, this whole year's been different. I also think it kind of beats you down, you know? So you just kind of get tired. You just want to watch, like, a movie and zone out.
John Middlecoff joining us here on Fox Sports Radio. He's George Reister. I'm Dan Byer sitting in for Jason Smith and Mike Harmon here on FSR. There was some transaction news today. Not good news for Darius Geis. Arrested on felony charges today. One count of strangulation. He was cut by the Washington football team. Does Darius Geis get a second chance in the National Football League?
Yeah, I'd say probably not, especially if that's, you know, if the I always struggle with the legal verbiage, you know, because we see it all the time. But if he did it, that's my legal verbiage. If he did it, no chance. Not with everything that's gone on. You know, it was an easy one for Ron Rivera, not his guy. He'd already had some issues. He's been injured. Clearly, they think there's a chance he did it, right? And I just think it's so hot button right now that, you know, he was a pretty highly touted guy in his career. It just shows you. I mean, you screw up. This is the NFL is different than these other sports. You just get cut. You know, they just tell you to leave. You know, it doesn't happen in baseball and basketball like that. But in the NFL, especially now in these crazy times, like I would say 20 years ago, I wouldn't feel as confident saying he's got no shot. But I think in 2020, especially in that position, think how many running backs come in the league every year. I think it's probably game, set, match for his career.
Oh, I totally agree with you there, John. One more quick question. If the college football season or some portion of it does get pushed back to the spring or even canceled, how is that then going to impact the NFL draft or the combine or anything else? Because we already saw it impact things this year. Does the NFL have a contingency plan if they play, or even if the NFL gets pushed back as well, for how they're going to handle the rest of the calendar?
That's a good point. I don't know. I mean, it's already getting pretty weird, right? I think it's going to be complicated for the NFL. The highly touted guys that already kind of tapped out, they're making a right move. You know, the guys that are already top 10 picks coming in this year, they got nothing to lose. Don't even mess with it. But we know that's not really – like a lot of guys that go in the first round – weren't even on the radar. You know, Joe Burrow was like a fourth, fifth-round pick, plays his way in. You see, I saw a headline a couple hours ago that the conference, North Dakota State's conference, that has this quarterback that DJ says, like, more talented than, you know, Carson Wentz. I've just seen some highlights. I mean, the guy looks like a freak, but he's only been a one-year starter, and then their season gets canceled. What, You know, does he declare? Could you draft a guy in the top five only based off 1 year? That'd be pretty risky, especially coming from a small school. I'm talking to some of my buddies around the league. I mean, they're not going to be able to go to these colleges where they usually meet with the kids and the coaches and stuff during the season. But it's no different society, right? Every industry is dealing with this. You're just going to have to adapt. But the problem for NFL is they live off information, and it's just like, think about this year. Like, yeah, the personal workouts got canceled, but they had still had the entire fall. The kids played, and then they had the combine. So there was a lot of information. But who knows? If there's not a vaccine, like, what if a combine doesn't? You know, it's just there's way more unknowns right now that are known. So you just can deal with the cards you're dealt, I guess, right now, and take it day by day.
Yeah, Trey Lance, that quarterback from North Dakota State, a name to follow, whether they play
games this fall.
I mean, who
knows? Maybe he goes one off 15 games of his college career.
Well, that'd be amazing. John Middlecoff, find him on Twitter. That's where you can find him on Twitter, at John Middlecoff, and you can hear him on the Herd Podcast Network with his own 3-and-Out podcast. John, thanks so much. Have a great weekend.
See you, fellas. Take it easy.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
This is the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon. He's George Reister. I'm Dan Beyer, sitting in for Jason and Mike tonight as we're coming to you live for the Geico Fox Sports Radio Studios. It's easy to save 15% or more on car insurance with Geico. Go to geico.com or call 800-947-AUTO. The only hard part, figuring out which way is easier. One of the names that Steve did mention was Ricky Fowler, who's on the wrong side of the cut line. And this is going to be a tough one to take. For those that may have missed it today at the PGA Championship, Ricky Fowler went to tap in a putt, and I don't know if he was off balance. We've all done it at the course, George. You and I just go and tap it in, or we just probably pick the ball up and be like, that's good, and move on. But obviously, it's a professional event, so you're going to finish out. Rory basically whiffed his putt, whiffed the one-foot putt that he needed to tap in. As he tried to make the stroke to it, the putter may have glanced and hit the ball, but it was an attempted stroke. He added the stroke to his score, and that's going to be the difference between Ricky Fowler playing the weekend. Was he whiffed on basically an 18-inch putt. And I don't know how, you know, I don't think he's going to be able to sleep well tonight or the next night. The point being, though, George, in a situation like that, do you count the stroke in your round of golf if you whiff on an 18-incher at the hole, or do you just say, ah, that was good anyway?
I'm not counting it. I'm not counting a stroke unless the ball moves. I mean, I get that's the problem sometimes with golf, is it has these weird rules. Like the fact that you can't ground your club in the sand. Why not? I mean, if you swing at the ball and you miss the ball and the ball doesn't move, like if you're teeing up, we have all done it when we were first starting out to play golf, where you're raising your head up, the club comes up, you miss the ball. If the ball doesn't fall off the tee, it's not a shot. I mean, that is the most integrity is king. In life, in everything. And in golf, it's one of those honesty is the best policy kind of sports. I am 100% on board with that. It is silly to me to count yourself a stroke if the ball didn't move, especially on a gimme putt. Sorry.
This is what I think would happen if that situation happened. Let's just say that you're making the putt, George. I'm not saying you're going to miss the one-footer or the two-footer. But the point is, if you did, as your playing partner or the guy with you, I immediately go, that was good anyway. Like, that's where you need
it's the right thing to do.
Yeah, that's where you need your buddies to step up. And as much as I want to play within the rules of golf, for guys like you and me, it doesn't do any good for our psyche to know that, hey, I just completely missed a putt that I didn't care about or you were cleaning out. Totally different, obviously, with Ricky Fowler. I get that. We're not trying to
You have to play with the rules that, like, it's – there are rules, and then there's rules and there's laws, and then there's the spirit of the law. I mean, if you are playing golf, in certain situations, you play with different rules. Prime example. I've lived – in two separate places where you have hazards. I've lived in Florida, where I've golfed a lot in Jacksonville. And when balls get close to water, they tell you just to pick, just scoot it over, pick it up, because there are alligators lurking all over the place. In California, if you're playing near mountains, especially, there are a lot of courses where there are a lot of rattlesnakes. So if your ball gets up against that, they'll tell you, nah, don't worry about it, bro. I saw where your ball went. Don't look for it. Just drop another ball right here. We won't count you a stroke. Because sending somebody up there to go find a ball where rattlesnakes clearly are, it might ruin your entire round. If you could have $100 lost because your friend gets bit by a rattlesnake, and what are you going to do? Just send him to the hospital all by himself? No, your round's over.
It's a very good point. And for those that may not have seen in the coverage earlier today, Rory McIlroy actually hit a drive that went and hit the cart path and rolled down, and then ended up being basically positioned behind a couple of cypress trees, but was also then stepped on by a reporter in the grass. And so Rory ended up getting a free drop and was able to place the ball and told the rules official that the ball was actually the lie that he got wasn't, or was better than what the actual position was. So Rory McIlroy is being super honest in all of this and being like, this lie is too good for me to play, which is something completely out of the realm of possibility for you or me. Like if it comes close to the cart path, we're taking relief and we're putting that ball on the best patch of grass that we could find. But I guess that's why the pros are the pros and we are who we are.
Well, part of it is supposed to be a little bit fun, right?
Sure. Absolutely.
So you want a little bit of a challenge, because if it's too easy, then, it's just too easy. And if I'm a player, I want to do the right thing. I don't just want to just make it easy. If you're a pro golfer, you don't want to just take whatever somebody will give you. You want to do what you feel is the right thing, and sure, also make it a little bit challenging as well.
Yeah, you're protecting the field. You're having your score, and you would hope that other playing partners. By the way, I don't suggest using the foot wedge when it's behind a tree. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that I condone all types of cheating in golf, but the situations that we saw today, there's no way we're like, no, my lie wasn't that good, and then there's no way we're not letting someone just pick up the 18-incher that they just whiffed on. Like, that is not happening. Absolutely not. He's George Reister. Okay, well, go ahead, George.
No, don't worry about it. We'll talk about it later.
Okay, all right. You and I will have to play golf, and then we'll have to at some point, and when maybe things open up a little bit, and then we can cheat together.
Are you any good?
I like to play, but the game goes in and out.
Will you break 100 is the question.
Yeah, I could break 100.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, then it'll be competitive then.
Okay. Yeah. I should break 90s, break 90, but 80s
so
a different
really
story.
Going to be competitive then.
So we'll maybe have some fun. I could be all over the place. You never know what kind of day, we're going to get. He's George Reister. I'm Dan Beyer. This is the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon here on Fox Sports Radio. Major League Baseball has got a big problem with one of their teams. We'll tell you who that is next here on Fox Sports Radio.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
Welcome back to the Geico Fox Sports Radio studios. This is George Reister with my man Dan Beyer, and we are filling in for Jay on the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon. And you guys can make sure to tweet us at Fox Sports Radio, at Dan Beyer on Fox, and me at George Reister. Did you guys know that Geico is offering 15% extra off of car, motorcycle, and RV policies?
What?
That's 15% on top of what Geico could already save you. So what are you waiting for? Save an extra 15% when you switch by October 7th. Visit geico.com to learn more. Every day we are learning more, though, Dan, about MLB and its viability. And you told us that there was one team who is in trouble. And I have a sneaky suspicion that it's the St. Louis Cardinals.
Their series with the Cubs this weekend postponed after a couple of more positive tests with their players. And the league ended up, Major League Baseball ended up posting and setting their schedule for the other missed games that they had earlier this season. They did it yesterday or the day before. All the days blend together now. I can't remember exactly. However, the Cardinals, George, when the new schedule was released, we're going to have to play 55 games in a span of 49 days. And that was
That's bad math.
That is very bad math. And I don't know what's going on here. I don't know why Dexter Fowler is at a drive-in movie and then going out and playing golf, and they're supposed to be, quarantine or supposed to be playing, being close. I know we just talked about golf. I've gone out and played golf in the last month or so, but I also am not a member of a Major League Baseball team that is on the road that just had a bunch of COVID-19 positive tests. That's not the case. I don't know why Major League Baseball doesn't just have the JV Cardinals in this taxi squad come up and play their games. I have no idea what is going on, but now you don't play this series, and now you could have the series against the Tigers that they've got coming up at the beginning of next week also in jeopardy. I don't know how you can complete a season and allow the Cardinals to be a part of it when they have missed so many games that it's going to be darn near impossible for them. And they're going to be playing doubleheaders for half of the games for the rest of the season.
Which is unfair.
It's absurd. I don't know what's going on in Major League Baseball, George, and it just seems to bother me, because even these things that we think are minor seem to be major when they're building up, because I thought that they're – like just with the Marlins, I thought there was going to be, a taxi squad or, a bunch of guys being called up
to
allow
those
games
to
be played. But –
yeah.
So what's that?
You see that's not happening.
Yeah, it's not.
And the Cardinals will have gone at least 12 days without playing a game after all of this is over with. And it's a total disruption to the other teams that they're supposed to be playing against, because now they have to play doubleheaders. Strain on their pitching staff, strain on the players, and player safety is supposed to be paramount. But John Middlecoff, when we were just talking to him, he said NBA and MLB players are used to just doing whatever they want to do, just kind of living their lives. And then you add in the varying beliefs on how serious COVID is, and now you have a situation where people are out just trying to just do the things that they want to do, and it is getting to a point where their season is now in jeopardy.
It's crazy. I mean, they may have to play four games. They'll just be three innings long. That could be something else.
First quadruple hitter.
Tune in starting at 7 a.m. All right. He's George Reister.
Five inning games.
I'm Dan Beyer. This is the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon. A big change in Washington, D.C. We dive into that next here on Fox Sports Radio.